Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezevic, Nick Kieser with you, broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Coming up this hour, Jonathan Hutton at 10:30. Plus, check this out. I really want to go to this. Your chance to win a pair of tickets before you can buy them to see Aerosmith at Bridgestone Arena, January 10th, 2024. That was the first rock concert I ever went to. Was Aerosmith back in all the way back in 2001. It was awesome.
Wow. I went on the rock and roller coaster, the Aerosmith one. That was pretty cool. Can't say I've ever been to an Aerosmith concert.
They're good. They're really good.
Oh,
live.
I'm sure they're phenomenal live.
They are awesome. So we'll have your chance to win Aerosmith tickets coming up this hour. So looking forward to that. But we started the show with this and some comments that Rand Carthon made Friday night after the press conference. And I know a lot of Twitter has talked a lot about this press conference and just, you know, kind of all over the place. And I said this and I'll reiterate it. I like Rand Carthon. I think that he's a rookie GM. I think he is still trying to get his feet under him. He's still getting to know Vrabel and that dynamic and how that's going to work. And he's just he's a good dude. He's a positive guy. But he's going to learn, I believe, that, you know, with this job, you have to have some thick skin. Unfortunately, it's not all rah-rah and positivity. That's just not what it is. I think, you know, Vrabel was a little more equipped for that because that's just how he's wired. And also, you know, he played for guys like Bill Cowher and Bill Belichick that, you know, were hard-nosed and old school. And I'm not saying that Carthon isn't, but I just think it comes with the job. It comes with the territory. It comes with time that he's going to understand. But this was a comment he made Friday night talking about, you know, he was being asked a bunch of questions about the health of players and why did you take this player at a certain spot. This was Rand Carthon about being less negative.
I just want to say something real quick. You know, today and as yesterday, these kids are living their dreams, right? Having their name called, you know, realizing a dream and being drafted. And I don't want these, you know, interactions between us to always feel like we got to take a negative turn. And, you know, this should be a joyous moment for us to praise these kids. This is a moment these kids are going to see this, you know, and this is a moment for them and their families to rejoice in, you know, because it's only going to happen once, you know. We joked, you know, earlier about Jim and I joked earlier about me not being drafted, you know what I mean? And that's a moment, you know, in my career I can never get back. Coach was drafted in the third round. That's a moment he'll always remember. So let's keep that in mind, you know, when we're talking about these kids and where they've come from and where, because a lot of these kids have overcome a lot, you know, to get to this point, you know. So let's keep that in mind in moments like this. There'll be other times to critique what they've done. These kids haven't even stepped on the NFL field yet, you know. So let's keep that in mind. This is a moment for them and their families to have something to be proud of and enjoy this moment.
That was Rand Carthon Friday night. So what I will say is I understand where he's coming from. I don't think you're doing yourself any favors trying to, you know, to say that, because the fan base has questions. And a lot of the questions that the media will ask are the same questions that if the fan base could go into a press conference, they would ask. And so you have to understand that. You have to understand that you know more than we do. Mm-hmm. You know the plan. You have the plan written down on a piece of paper or on a whiteboard or whatever. You know what the plan is. We don't. And so we have to ask those questions. You drafted a guy in the third round that has a significant injury history. You think we're just going to ignore that? Like, you can't. We don't get a lot of time with the general manager. We get a lot of time with head coach. We don't get a lot of time with the general manager. And so you have to ask those questions. And it's not that they're trying to be negative. They're just doing their jobs. And I understand that there are some media members that maybe are a little more direct than others and, you know, can come across that way, but it's a part of it. And so I think that he's going to learn that. He's going to get some thicker skin. Again, it comes with it. I'm not blasting him for trying to be that way. I'm that way. Like I look at myself and, you know, I try to be positive every day and have that outlook on things, but I've learned in this job and in, you know, my career, but this job is a PD specifically, that it's not all positive. And sometimes you just kind of tell it like it is. And so, like I said, I think he's going to learn that. I understand where he was coming from. He didn't get to have that moment, and these kids are, and so he wants them to be able to enjoy it. But at the same time, you know, it's like, okay, you're building a football team in the National Football League, and you still have a lot of question marks with your roster, and the media has a job to do.
Yeah, I mean, I do think that it probably got blown up way more than it needed to on Twitter, but what's new? Twitter does its thing, and people will go crazy, but I think, you know, the NFL draft is something unlike anything else. I mean, the amount of views that are on it, I mean, it's a sporting event in itself because of how much people care about the NFL. It's on its own level. I mean, I guess you could, the NBA draft is behind it, but it's nowhere near as popular as the NFL draft and the whole production that goes behind it and to play at this level. And people have questions. People have questions on who are we getting onto this football team, to the Tajay Spears point of his knee. It's a fair question to ask, because in a press conference a couple weeks ago, or it might have even been his introductory press conference on the injuries on this team, and he went forward to say, we need to change that, right? We don't want to draft injured players, but, you know, maybe they don't see this as an issue. He got cleared by medicals. They think he's going to be fine. He was a third round pick. Okay. But the question has to be asked, because, you know, when you talk about the fan base and you talk about being a member of the media, you're a journalist first and foremost. And you have to ask these questions because you're the voice of the people in these situations. You're the voice of the fan base to ask these questions on, well, walk me through and let me get into your head of why this happened. And when you talk about a fan base investing in your organization, you're a new general manager. And the way the organization was left after the old general manager got fired was not in a good place. They lost 7 games in a row. They had a depleting roster. They had a lot of injured players. They had a 90%+ chance to make the playoffs, and then they went on a losing streak and didn't. It didn't end in a good way this past season. So the fan base is concerned. They have a lot of questions. There's building a new stadium. Do season ticket holders want to buy season tickets for the new stadium? Do you want to invest in this team? It's a financial investment. So, I mean, you do deserve to know those answers. I think there's a difference between, you know, being positive and happy for somebody, but then also just asking a question and generally wanting to know the right answer than being negative about something. So, like I said, I think it got blown up more than it needed to be, but the questions were fair.
Yeah, and Rand Carth, I'm going to join Caroline Willie and D-Mace today at noon, so looking forward to that. You know, I hope in, you know, down the road we get him on this show, because, like, I mean, I like him a lot. Like, I do think he can be good at this. Like, he's, you know, shown what he is as a talent evaluator when he was with San Francisco. We'll see. I mean, the first draft class is important, because you got to create a first impression. I mean, you know, you look at John Robinson's first draft class. I would say it worked out for the most part. Are you going to hit on everything? No. I mean,
no GMs.
You're going to have some Kevin Dodds.
Isaiah Wilson's.
I mean, you don't want Isaiah Wilson's, because that's a first round pick, but mm-hmm. you're going to miss. So, you know, you look at the 6 picks that they have. I think you can go through right now and pick out the ones that are going to work, but ultimately you don't know until they, as he likes to say, get on the grass.
You never know. Like I said before, people thought the Patrick Mahomes pick wasn't what it is now. It was graded a C-. I mean, that just shows you never truly know how a player is going to turn out. We can project. We can look at the measurables. We can do the S2 testing and the 40 and the vertical jump and everything and analyze the film, but nobody knows. And if we did, we'd be very rich.
We would be very, very rich. 615-737-1025. That's our phone line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai.com. Can Will Levis become the franchise guy that the Titans have been looking for since Steve McNair? We will discuss that coming up next here on Chase and Michelle. And also Jonathan Hutton coming up at the bottom of the hour. But running out of ideas for a Mother's Day gift, tune in to Robbie and Rex Road all week long for your chance to win a $100 gift card to a Moments Peace Spa. Winners will be put in a grand prize drawing for a $1,000 gift card and a pair of tickets to see Dave Matthews Band at Bridgestone Arena on May 26th. So look out for that. 615-737-1025. It's Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063 The Game.
Randy, you talked about staying in contact with Ryan and communicating with him all the way through. Do you have to even let him know you're going there, or have you communicated with him any since that pick, and how do you want him to approach his job moving forward?
I look, Coach.
Reached out to Ryan. Those things happen pretty fast. Would say that was able to reach out to him and then ultimately have a conversation with him and explain to him what I told you, and some other things that obviously will be remain between Rand and myself and Ryan, and expect him to compete, you know, just like Ryan has done every day since he's been here. And what Ryan did was come in from another situation, put his head down, learn our playbook in probably a week, push the starting quarterback in his own way, proved to the football team that he was ready, and then when given the opportunity, took advantage of it. And I would expect him to continue to do that, be the consummate pro, compete for his job, and I would sell and expect Malik and Will to do the same thing.
Mike Vrabel, Friday night, about the quarterback competition. Is it a competition? Chase and Michelle, 1025, 1063 The Game. She's Michelle Knezovic. I'm Chase McCabe. And, I mean, it's going to be the question leading up to training camp. Or it's going to be the question until that, or if Ryan Tannehill has moved.
Yeah.
In some capacity. But,
mm-hmm.
You know, I believe ultimately what they should do is just keep it all as is and have Tannehill be the starting quarterback this year.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, now the question will be, it's May 1st today. What would a cut look like after June 1st?
Mm-hmm.
I think you save about $18 million in it. There is a dead cap hit there, but you're gaining for it because Ryan Tannehill does, just the way his contract's constructed, has one of the biggest cap hits in the NFL this year. He has a cheap contract for a quarterback, but, you know, as far as cap hit and looking at the cap, he has one of the highest hits for it. So will that happen? We got a month from today. Today's May 1st, like I said. But to your point, Chase, I mean, I think, and I'm not a quarterback coach or, you know, NFL
You're
coach,
not?
But am I? Could I be a
thought you had a weekend job.
Could I be a double secret agent? But, I mean, watching a lot of Kentucky games and Will Levis last year, and I know I'm completely not talking about Malik Willis in this situation, but just specifically talking about Will Levis, a guy, I don't look at it as taking a waiver on a quarterback. I look at it as, you know, you were interested in him in the first round and you took your offensive lineman. He ended up falling and you had an opportunity to get him and you still move back up to go and get him. So I look at it differently than the Malik Willis pick last year of kind of a waiver on a guy, seeing what you have. But I think it'd be beneficial to have Ryan Tannehill here. I mean, how can you look at this situation and say, okay, it could honestly turn out pretty well, right? You got Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. You have another year. You're looking at the AFC South now with two teams with rookie quarterbacks. You have an opportunity to be competitive in the AFC South and make it into the playoffs. And that's always an accomplishment every year. I know people want to win it big, but, you know, if you could have a young guy who you believe could be the future learning under Tannehill, who's been successful for you as a whole these last 5-6 years, I mean, I do like that idea. Or on the other hand, if they're looking at, you know, could we try to go and get a DeAndre Hopkins and need some cap space and are looking to move off somebody, are you ready to do that? And are you ready to throw Will Levis in right now or Malik Willis?
Yeah, well, I mean, look, I think what I'd be curious about is if Malik Willis is even on the team, you know, if they keep Tannehill,
Yeah, it'll be.
You know, I watched some of the XFL and the USFL this weekend, and I'm like, if they could just come up with a partnership where a guy like Malik Willis could be, his rights are still owned by the Titans, but he's playing in one
like
of these
a G
leagues.
League of
oh,
some sort.
It would be so yeah. beneficial to a lot of these players, especially the quarterback position, because some of the quarterback play in those leagues, woof. But if you could do that, like, it would be so huge.
It's what we talk about with hockey and, you know, overcook the young guys in the AHL. You've got the G League. Now they have, you know, two-way contracts where they can play down there. They can get a couple games up here. It's a long season. I know those are different just because the seasons are so long compared to the NFL. But, I mean, I completely agree. And maybe there'll be something like that in the future. But, I mean, a lot of people look at college football as the equivalent.
Right. But with Will Levis, I saw this from our friends at Music City Bets that Levis is getting 25-1 odds for Rookie of the Year. That's already out there. That Levis could be
too
could,
early. Oh my goodness!
I know, but I mean, it's interesting to bring it up because what if? I mean, what if they do go that route? If you know, I don't think if Tannehill's on the roster, Tannehill's starting. This is not a competition, and Vrabel even said that. You know, that right now Levis is third on the depth chart because he's got to earn his spot. But hypothetically speaking, if they moved on from Tannehill and they turned the keys over to Levis and he's the starter in game one, you know, is he going to be in that discussion? I'd say probably not. But I think it's interesting to bring it up.
Hypothetically, Will Levis could win a Super Bowl with them.
Hypothetically.
I don't know. I don't get too much into the odds. I get it. I mean, I think if you look at the situation that he was brought into, the Titans were a team that didn't have to use a first-round pick on him. The Titans were a team that didn't have to, you know, give up draft capital to move up to three to draft him overall. You look at the coach. You look at the organization over the last couple of years. The Tennessee Titans have been the most successful in division, right? With Derrick Henry and Mike Vrabel and formerly John Robinson. But, you know, if you look at the situation that each quarterback got drafted into, I know Indianapolis is still a question mark. They got their new head coach, Steichen, from the Eagles. He had a successful offense last year. But Chris Ballard has struggled in the last couple of years drafting, haven't been able to figure out that answer at quarterback. You have Gardner Minshew. Will he be your starter? Are you going to unleash Anthony Richardson? I look at the situations the quarterbacks got drafted into, and I really like the situation that, you know, Will Levis got drafted into, especially if you found some big-time solutions on the offensive line.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, I think he's in a good spot, especially if he can sit for a year and back up Tannehill. He's in a really good spot.
Mm-hmm. Then you can get more weapons next year. You can beef up that wide receiver room. And then you're kind of looking at the turning of the page. New general manager, new face of the franchise in moving off older players like a Tannehill, maybe like a Derrick Henry. And you're seeing the rise of new players like a Chigakonkwo, like a Treylon Burks, a Will Levis, right? I mean, we're seeing these young guys, Peter Skoronski, Andre Dillard, PT, Nicholas Petit-Frere, right? You're seeing kind of that turning of the page of, for so long, you know, they had that solid offensive line with, you know, Taylor Lewan, Conklin, and it was great for Tannehill and A.J. Brown and Corey Davis and Derrick Henry, and we're seeing kind of the transition. And it's not an overnight thing. We've talked about how many holes this team had to fill and that it can't be done in one offseason. We didn't even know if they could switch the entire offensive line in one offseason, and they have almost done that.
Yeah.
Is it going to be better? On paper, it looks better. It'll be the test if, you know, it is actually on the field, first game of the season. But it's hard to fix everything. It is.
It is. And it's going to take time. I mean, they're lucky in that the defense is still pretty good, and so they could focus all of their efforts on the offense, but it's still going to be a process moving forward. Coming up next, we'll talk to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow is the show every day, 2 to 5 on 94.9 The Fan. We'll get his thoughts on the draft and the comments of both Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon. That is coming up here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McKay, Michelle Knezovic with you. Every Monday at 10:30, we say hello to Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow is the show. 2 to 5 weekdays on 94.9 The Fan. Hutton, the draft is come and gone. We made it. And bless. Now there's nothing to talk about with the Titans. What's up?
Good morning, guys. Morning. Yeah, there's not much to talk about except for another draft where, I mean, we're contemplating how many starts we're going to get out of this draft class. And, you know, I felt the same way about last year's draft class. So buckle up. Here we go.
So, okay, before I ask you the big question when it comes to the Titans and this team, the draft class overall, 6 picks all on offense. First time that they've done that as a franchise. How do you feel about it all overall?
Well, I don't think there's any question that they have improved on offense just by offensive line alone. If we step back and look at where they were versus where they are now up front, what they have done is said, we're not going to let the Dennis Daly crap happen again in 2023. And that was outside of Jeffrey Simmons, that was priority number one of the offseason. And I can't argue with that because they did not have an identity on offense last year because of the offensive line. And that remains their identity up front in the trenches, running the football. And they're going to have to do more of it right now based on the depth chart at wide receiver, Chase.
So now the big question, Will Levis is taken in the second round as the presumed quarterback of the future. In your mind, Hutton, who is starting week one for the Tennessee Titans this year?
Ryan Tannehill. As long as Ryan Tannehill wants to be the week one starter for the Tennessee Titans, because look, if you are in love with a quarterback, you draft him at number 11. And you don't let him slide to you and talk about value and then go and lie to everyone and say that he's a backup to Malik Willis on Monday. Willis is the one quarterback I'd say who shouldn't be on the roster by week one. And Tannehill is the presumed starter because they've told us that, but also because they drafted their quarterback in the second round and they can point to and say, hey, we're going to develop him behind the scenes. And by the way, that's great news for Will Levis. We've talked a lot over the last couple of months about quarterback being in play, and it absolutely was. Mm-hmm. But I mean, this team's not trading up to number 3 to go draft Will Levis. Indianapolis wants us to believe that they would have drafted Will Levis at 4 had Anthony Richardson been drafted at 3. But point being, the Titans didn't draft Will Levis at 11. They took Skoronski, and I don't argue with that pick at all. In fact, it makes sense based on the way that they want to build this offense. But you know, for the second consecutive year, they have drafted a quarterback and a running back, both backups, on day 2 of the NFL draft, and they have put. And you're right; they've put all their eggs in the basket of Will Levis and developing him. Because it was a big swing and a miss on Willis a year ago.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike joins us. First off, how's Chad doing with the Will Levis pick?
Hopefully better than I am.
Okay. We'll give it to us.
I know you're a Tennessee fan here, and I think he's a good, not great quarterback. And I'm looking at this depth chart, going, how about some starters? And Levis can be a fine quarterback for the Tennessee Titans, but I wouldn't have drafted him. I would have drafted a starter at wide receiver. I would have, or a starter period, because this organization, regardless of general manager, drafts guys who come in and sit the bench for a while. Mm-hmm. And I just don't agree with that philosophy.
So when you look at this team right now, do you see the drafting of Will Levis as almost a signal that they're turning the page and this will be Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry's, you know, potential final year with the team because they're not getting guys right now who can be a significant addition to the team?
I think they've done that, though, out of necessity more than plan. They have – I'll use Rand Carthon's words. They're rolling the dice and playing the board with this. But they – so – this all changes hypothetically again, this all changes if Houston doesn't draft C.J. Stroud. It's pretty clear who they would trade up and draft at three there. This all changes if Aaron Rodgers comes out of his darkness retreat and says, I'm retired. Because I think the Jets would pick up the phone and call the Titans about Ryan Tannehill. So the situation, I think, dictated what they wanted to do. And again, the where they picked Will Levis tells us they're not in love with the guy. Because if they were, they draft him at pick 11. And instead, it's 33. Now, they do trade up and get him. Mm-hmm. But he was so high on their board there compared to where they were at 11. And every team is going to say they got the players that they wanted. And every team in the Titans situation, this is not a Titans-specific thing, they'd tell us the same thing. We had Peter Skoronski just ahead of the quarterback, so we took him instead of the quarterback. That's not how it works in this league. You take the quarterback if you feel like he's the guy. And they feel like the value's there for Will Levis, but the value's not there for, at least for me, for this team in 2023. And the value is to start Ryan Tannehill, to play Derrick Henry, and, you know, for and let's all just also just continue the trend here. They've drafted guys who they hope will become eventual starters. Mm-hmm. They've also drafted guys in this class with injury history. The third round running back is one to watch too, with Spears, where the reports are that some teams said that his career would not outlast his contract, according to Ian Rappaport. So, I mean, again, it's a roll of the dice playing the board.
That was a line that we heard a couple times this weekend.
It's a T-shirt. I told Koharski he needs to make a T-shirt of this.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike joins us right now. Jonathan, another question regarding the quarterback. Do you feel like Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon's job security will be tied to Will Levis's success?
I think that's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
Things can change quite a bit over the course of a trade or demand.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I would say that what Vrabel has done is he has hitched his wagon to Will Levis for mm-hmm. sure. This is just looking at the draft history, who stayed, who went, and you know who's signing off on things now. If let's just be just bare bones it here for a moment. If John Robinson's fired for not building up depth of a roster, and the picks are as valuable as they say they are, they had six picks this year, and the second selection they're trading up and moving to get Will Levis to back up Ryan Tannehill day one. And there's a lot of time between now and the season, but to back up Ryan Tannehill day one, because I'm just going to use what they've told us in the presser. If it was John Robinson who took the fall for the depth of the roster in December, now all they've told us is it is a collaborative effort, collaboration. All of it is a joint effort. Well, that means that Vrabel's all in on Levis as much as Rand Carthon is. And Carthon, I mean, typically when the GM comes in, you inherit the quarterback, you get a change, and then you get a change again to mix it up. If you go through free agency or you try to build depth behind that position and then insert that guy in, and you hit lightning in a bottle. I don't blame this team for drafting a quarterback. I just don't understand, if you're going to invest in the guy, why not draft the starter at 11 instead of the backup in the second round? Because the backup doesn't help this football team immediately like the starter would, where you get the clock going. And that's what's going to happen throughout the AFC South, except in Tennessee.
Jonathan Hutton is with us. So I think we're still learning who Rand Carthon is, both as a person and obviously as a general manager. You know, we've been used to Floyd Rees, John Robinson. You know what cloth they were cut from. You knew what you were getting when they talked to you. And I mean, every GM is going to have they talk a lot and then they don't say anything because they're keeping their cards close to the vest. But Rand comes across as different. I mean, he's got a positive attitude. He wants everybody to be positive. And I respect that. But you know how this business works. It doesn't – you're going to have Paul Koharski asking you the tough questions that you don't want to answer, but he's doing his job and it's a part of it. So what is kind of your evaluation of Rand Carthon as he's continuing to learn on the job?
So this is one of those deals where I don't know everything that goes on behind the scenes like everyone else. And by the way, I wasn't at the draft coverage this year over at St. Thomas Sports Park. So let me also mention that. But, and I watched and listened to a lot of coverage. You guys did a great job, by the way, at 102.5. And then I also listened to the press conferences. So the Carthon draft year one for me will be described as best available player, where there is a glaring need at wide receiver. And I go back to my six picks. Unless you're going to trade back and try to acquire more draft capital, I don't know why you don't select the player of need earlier than when they did. And I understand, like, they where they have their board, they're always looking left, which is where they have their offensive board ranked, their linear board, and their horizontal board. And everything pointed to a position outside of wide receiver. And now it is, I mean, it's really bad on the depth chart. So, look, if you don't like the value of the receiver in the third round, and while Spears may turn out to be, you know, the guy, they've also drafted a third down back behind Derrick Henry instead of trading back and getting into that area of the draft where they felt like the value would be there for the wide receiver. And I think that's the only thing I take away from the negative point of view, is they left with a seventh round wideout when the top 100, the consensus was, and the consensus isn't always correct, but the draft did fall this way. The top 100 players were filled with pass rushers, offensive tackles, and wide receivers. And while we saw a ton of quarterbacks drafted, there are wide receivers that are going to be making some plays for teams the Titans let slip by because of developmental players behind veterans on their roster. If the plan is to go with Tannehill and Henry, I don't know why you don't supplement things and put a player next to Treylon Burks, who's got to be the guy now. That's the next branch on the tree of the stories of this draft. Treylon Burks is not only the number one, he's got to be. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. He is the number one receiver, and they have possession guys around him. So when the game's on the line, Burks is getting the football. And if it's not him, it's someone out of the backfield. Or Chigakonkwo, who they're saying is going to really progress, and they're really going to, you know, ramp up when it comes to production.
Well, I hope so, because they need that. So we will see. We will see for sure. Hutton, appreciate it as always. And by the way, Rand Carthon is going to join Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace today at noon. So looking forward to that conversation. But thanks as always for joining us here today. We'll talk to you next Monday.
I always enjoy this. Thank you, guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Jonathan Hutton from Outkick. Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow is the show 2 to 5 weekdays on 94.9 The Fan. And yes, Rand Carthon at noon today. They'll have a lot of draft reaction. But coming up next here on Chase and Michelle, some big upsets in the NHL. We will discuss that in the NBA playoffs. The end has come for the Memphis Grizzlies. That's coming up here on Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase McCabe, Michelle Knezevic, Nick Kieser here with you. All right, you want to go see Aerosmith at Bridgestone Arena January 10th, 2024. You can win these tickets before you can buy them. Caller number
5. 5? Let's do 5.
I was going to do something different. Okay. Caller number 5, 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Aerosmith at Bridgestone Arena on January 10th, 2024. Before you can buy them, tickets will go on sale this Friday at 10. So we've obviously covered a lot with the draft and the fallout from that today, but the playoffs in the NBA and the NHL continue to be exciting. The journey has come to an end for the Memphis Grizzlies.
Mm-hmm.
It kind of got to that point where I thought they'd go back to Memphis and win, but then they wouldn't be able to win in LA. And ultimately that's what happened. And LeBron James and company move on to take on Golden State. I think that's going to be a heck of a series.
Oh, I mean, it's LeBron versus Steph Curry. Steph Curry had 50 points against the Kings yesterday. Best shooter ever. Like, ever, ever, Steph Curry. I mean, to be able to watch him, and sometimes it's hard to realize what you're watching and you appreciate it after somebody's not playing a sport anymore. But to be able to watch him and LeBron, and we're talking about all these younger guys, oh, they're going to dethrone them. The Warriors don't have it this year. The Lakers aren't even going to make the playoffs. Just all of this stuff. And these guys have been playing in the league for so long and are still playing at such an incredible level. And we get to see a series between both of them against, I mean, two California franchises, you know, Steph Curry versus LeBron. I am so hype. Starts Tuesday at 9.
And then how about the Miami Heat? I mean, Miami gets out of that series. They beat Milwaukee, and now they have a one-game lead on the Knicks.
With an injured Julius Randle.
Yeah.
Who he's still questionable for. I think they play tonight. I could be wrong, though. I have to double-check.
No. Let's see. Tonight you have Philly and Boston, and then Phoenix and Denver.
Okay. So, you know, Julius Randle, he's questionable. People don't know you know, if he'll be able to play. Jimmy Butler, I think, is the epitome of
Jimmy Buckets.
The regular season, you know, load management, and just, I mean, he turns it up another level in the postseason. He's been phenomenal. I remember in the first round, Tyler Hero, in it was either a playing game or one of the first games, he breaks his hand or wrist or something. So he's a non-factor, but this Heat team, they're another one I didn't see making a bit of a run.
Yeah, let's see. You know, you have top seed. Well, was it the top seed? Was Milwaukee the top seed in the East? Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah, getting knocked off by a South Florida team. Where have I seen that before?
Yeah,
right. Oh, I saw it last night in the NHL as well. As the Florida Panthers defeat the Boston Bruins in 7 games in overtime. Mm-hmm. And the team that set a bunch of records this year and won the President's Trophy is knocked out in the first round. And then later that night, the defending Stanley Cup champions get knocked out in a game 7 by the upstart Seattle Kraken, their second year in existence.
Ellie Tolvanen.
Tolvanen is a part of that, obviously.
If I told you this a month ago, Chase, the Bruins, the Avs, and the Lightning will all be knocked out in the first round, what would you say?
I would have said, you crazy.
You'd be like, okay, Michelle.
You are crazy. But here's the cool part of the story for the Kraken. Who's the goalie for Seattle?
Oh, it's
Philip Grubauer.
Yeah.
And what did he do last year? He won the Stanley Cup with Colorado. So pretty cool.
Goaltending.
Pretty cool story.
It's the epitome of get into the big dance. And anything can happen.
Yeah.
I mean, we talk about how elite. I mean, look at the Rangers. The Rangers and the Devils, they've got game 7 coming up.
Yep.
And that was a team, too, who we thought, oh. Remember, we're like, oh, they're going to sweep that series. The Rangers are going to sweep the Devils.
The Rangers are going to win tonight, though, I think. I think the Rangers win. I want the Rangers to win, but I think
I'm looking at you and you're like, okay, I want them to win.
I want them to win, but I think they do because I want Toronto and the Rangers in the Eastern Conference Final.
Toronto fans, if we have any, how are you feeling? Well, and it looks like Snoop Dogg might be trying to buy the Ottawa Senators.
Yeah, he's part of the group. That's cool.
That's another little fun fact out there.
So random.
So many fun playoff games. I mean, I know.
Oh, the Stanley Cup playoffs, I don't care what anybody says. It's the best of any sport, I think. I think it's got the most drama. I mean, NBA's been great. I've enjoyed the NBA.
Are you just talking professional?
Yeah, professional.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, college football playoff is fun. The NCAA March tournament. Yeah. But professional, I think the Stanley Cup playoffs are the best.
Yeah, I mean, you can see a lot of parity in it, which is usually in football you will see the best team prevail, but the way that the Stanley Cup playoffs are set up and, you know, having to win 7 games. I mean, Boston, for instance, right now we talk about the President's Trophy curse. Just because you are by far one of the best teams in the regular season, making history, success in the postseason is so hard.
Yeah, I mean it is. But I just think the drama that's involved now, and I mean, you got Edmonton that's moved on.
I'm rooting for them because we get back home, and I want to see Connor McDavid and Draisaitl play more.
Yeah, I'm rooting for them too. Vegas is going to be tough. The thing that I worry about with Edmonton is the goaltending.
Yeah,
is just can Skinner hold up against Vegas? Seattle and Dallas is going to be a fun series, even though I feel like Dallas comes out of that. Dallas is really good, but Seattle is scrappy. Seattle is like they're like, hold my beer, watch us. Yeah, and they've had really good goaltending. So it's hard to believe that it's only the second round. But
I know.
But yeah, so and then you got Florida and Toronto, and then we'll see who wins between the Rangers and the Devils tonight in game 7. But I just love the drama that's involved with the Stanley Cup playoffs right now. It's been really entertaining.
And the city of Toronto, I'm sure they're very happy, and they're happy they got matched up with Florida instead of a Boston in the next round. But just keep it cool, Toronto. Let's it's a marathon, not a sprint.
It is. That is a very good way to put it. But we hand off now in our marathon.
We're giving the baton
to Caroline Willie and D. Mace. They will obviously give their reaction to the weekend of the draft. And also, Rand Carthon, Titans general manager, going to join them at noon today. I'll be looking forward to hearing that conversation. We're back at it tomorrow at 9, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.